Sign up to our weekly Nolan newsletter at bbc.co.uk/Nolan.
So, lots to come between now and 10:30. But let's begin, though, with that trouble in North Belfast, where police were pelted with bottles, bricks and bolts after they prevented an Orange Parade from walking past the Ardoyne shops. 9 police officers were injured. 1 needed stitches to a finger after being bitten. A teenager was also hurt when a car ran into pedestrians. The 16-year-old girl was trapped under the vehicle until police and other bystanders managed to lift the car, and we'll be looking at that story in more detail a little bit later, and some of the pictures indeed of that incident across many of the front pages of the newspapers this morning. But first, this is the moment when the trouble started as some loyalists broke through barriers erected by the police. Well, in a moment we'll be getting the thoughts of the DUP's Nelson McCausland and also Sinn Féin's Gerry Kelly. But first of all, let's speak to our own Chris Buckler, who was there last night for us, reporting for BBC on what was happening. Chris, just take us through what you saw.
Yeah, it seems ridiculous to say it, and after the list that you just read out, but it is worth just putting in mind that the violence last night was nothing like the trouble that followed the same restricted parade 2 years ago in 2013. Just in terms of the scale of the trouble, its intensity, how long it lasted. But let's be frank, it wasn't good in any respects. And considering that same parade was calm and was peaceful just last year, albeit with protests and a clear demonstration of just how unhappy loyalists were, there will be some that will be pretty frustrated, probably doubly frustrated, at having seen those scenes last night. And also, it's worth saying that leading up to last night, everything seemed relatively positive. You know, ahead of the parade, the police put in place a small barrier. There was a small line of police officers on the front line, a relatively relaxed atmosphere. But then that moment, just where the mood changed, and those sounds that you played, that's where they came from. A group at the front started attacking police lines. We were back to those images of trouble that you've come to know over the years. There were huge bits of bricks, there were bolts, there were bottles all being thrown. You had the mayhem that you mentioned, and the police Land Rovers had to go in. We later on had the police water cannon going in and trying to move loyalist protesters back. That moment of trouble again sparked things, and again we have those images that are being broadcast around the UK, around the world, of a parade that is followed by trouble.
We know in the past, of course, Chris, marshals have been on hand to try and manage the situation. Did you see any marshals there last night to try and stop this from happening?
There was a deliberate attempt, I think, to step back at last night. There wasn't the same marshalling that there was in recent years. Now, I will say that at the very start of the parade, when it came up to the point where it stopped by the police, there were Orange Order members there. There was a protest banner that was put up. There was a clear demonstration that was to some extent organised. It was an attempt to show the frustration. But then there was a stepping back, and as people started to move from protest, frankly, to violence, there was perhaps not the same marshalling that we saw certainly last year. And certainly from loyalist politicians there, they kind of give the indication that they were there to observe, that they were not there to marshal this year, which is a very different scenario to last year.
And what about this incident involving the 16-year-old girl who was trapped under a car, Chris? What more can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, amid all of the mayhem, you then have a teenage girl knocked down and seriously injured. And now I have to say, at that particular juncture, I was on the Woodvale Road. And then when that happened, I made my way down to Ardoyne. It happened just in front of the Ardoyne shops. And by the time I arrived there, the car which had run over this girl, and, you know, you've seen the pictures yourself, the car itself had to be turned onto its side in order to get the girl out. Now, from speaking to people there, it is very clear that both the police and local people both moved that car up in order to get the girl out. They then got her into an ambulance. There was a brief moment again where, after working together to get this girl out, then the crowd turned on the police. And again, there were skirmishes on that side. And you have this moment where the police are caught in the middle. They have loyalist protesters on one side, they've an angry nationalist group on the other, and they are stuck at that roundabout. Huge numbers of police officers, has got to be said, but nonetheless, they are stuck in the middle with that trouble going on all around them. Now, in terms of the teenage girl who was injured, her mother was there and she went with her to hospital. It doesn't look like those injuries are life-threatening. Nonetheless, you know, the chaos that took place there last night, there is somebody who's in hospital as a result of all of that. There are police officers injured. And you again have the day after the 12th parades with so many of them completely calm, completely peaceful, celebrations that took place across Northern Ireland without any trouble. And you have this one parade where you have headlines and you have, again, people injured and hurt.
Chris, thank you very much indeed for that. And lots of questions, as you say there, Chris, emanating from what happened yesterday, 08459 555 678. Not least the big question, how can we prevent this from happening again? The DUP's Nelson McCausland is with us, as is Sinn Féin's Gerry Kelly. Nelson McCausland, I know that you weren't there yesterday, but you've had some reports from your people on the ground as to what happened. What's your understanding of what went wrong?
Well, I've spoken to a number of DUP councillors who were present during the events of the evening. And it's clear that across Northern Ireland, there was a very good 12th with very large crowds of spectators and a very successful day. But within North Belfast, there is deep disappointment and frustration that once again, the three Ligonie lodges and the band were not able to return to their starting point. And you use the phrase at the start of the programme, in the Ardoyne, but simply to return home along the main arterial route, which is the Crumlin Road. Is it too much to ask that we have a shared future with a shared road and just simply 10 minutes of respect and tolerance for the Orange community as they return home?
A lot of people will be wondering this morning, how come the crowd was managed last year to ensure that this wouldn't happen? But that didn't happen this year. There were no marshals were there, but they weren't able to prevent the protesters from pelting the police with missiles.
Well, the Orange Order is not a police force. Politicians are not policemen.
They bring people onto the streets.
The determination was that the lodges and the band could return to a certain point on the Woodvale Road. They returned to that point, they dispersed, and that is all that can be expected.
Surely when you bring people onto the street, you have a responsibility to ensure that they remain within the law, that things remain peaceful. You have that responsibility, do you not?
If you send out a message, as the Parades Commission has done over the years, that violence pays, now, that's wrong. It's wrong to engage in violence. The Orange Order has made that clear. Others have made it clear in statements. But if it's wrong to engage in violence, it's equally wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that the Parades Commission is culpable by rewarding.
Yeah.
Sorry, let me finish, please. The Parades Commission, in their determination, was simply rewarding a decade and more of Republican violence. Gunmen on the streets, bombs on the streets, all of that
thing,
were rewarded.
Yeah, words are one thing, and we note as well the Orange Order have released a statement condemning
Indeed.
What happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact remains, does it not, that the Orange Order, through their marshals, walked away from that last night and left the protesters there to attack police lines?
It is not the role of the Orange Order to be a police service. I've made that point already. I think everyone would recognise that. They are not policemen. It is the responsibility of others to deal with situations as they arise, and it's the responsibility of the Parades Commission not to create these situations.
OK, let's hear from Gerry Kelly. Gerry Kelly, what's your take on what happened?
Morning, and I agree in terms of Nelson McCausland saying that the vast majority of these parades go off peacefully, and you know, there are two sides to all this story, and one of them is very simple. That if we didn't have these fantastic parades, then it would be a day that everybody would be able to enjoy who wanted to enjoy it. But you can't divorce what happened before it to what happened on the day. And there was, at minimum, a lack of leadership, I would argue, bad leadership before it. A number of prominent loyalists who were actually using the threat of no massing because there had been massing. And saying that they didn't know if it was going to be violence or not. So all of that there feeds into it. Social media, of course, also feeds into it. There was on social media People were picking up that there was going to be trouble that day up at Twiddale and down at Woodville where it was. So I don't think it's enough to say that, you know, the wiser hands of it. The effigies on the bonfires, the burning of effigies, all of that are feed into it. So where it should be, I think it's called an orange fest. There are other people who have different names for it. That's the difficulty. Now, to work it out, I think, which was your original question, we need to get back in the dialogue. The dialogue needs to be directly between the loyal orders involved and the residents of the area. And indeed, that those dialogues, the dialogue was taking place until I think it was April of last year when the Orange Order walked out. And there's no point if you are genuinely involved in dialogue, then going off to the British Secretary of State and saying, "Well, ignore the dialogue. We want you to use your power to overturn the Peerage Commission decision." When in fact, the Peerage Commission was put up, and there have been a number of Peerage Commissions. Remember this, and Nelson McCausland has been very consistent in this, as has other DUP elected representatives. They're against the Peerage Commission, no matter who's on it. They simply do not want these peers to be regulated, and I think that's a huge mistake.
No.
Nelson?
Well, first of all, Gerry Kelly talks about dialogue. There have been 10 years of dialogue involving Orange Brethren and other representatives for the unionist community. 10 years of dialogue that simply resulted in the evening parade being banned. And we now have a situation where distant Republicans in Ardoyne control the situation and they're saying, well, actually, we want the morning parade stopped as well. Now, as I was coming down in the morning, one of the protesters from the Republican side shouted as I walked past and called me an Orange Bee, only he didn't abbreviate it. How do you reach an accommodation with people who have that mindset? Also, he spoke about there a lack of leadership. I didn't hear Gerry Kelly talk about a lack of leadership during all those years when there was Republican violence, gunmen trying to murder police officers, bombers on the streets. That happened year after year, attempts to murder police officers. A breeze block dropped on a police officer's head. I didn't hear anything about a lack of leadership. And he also said, if we didn't have contentious parades, sorry, let me make this point, please. Gerry Kelly said, if we didn't have contentious parades, it's not a question of parades, it's a question of tolerance and respect, in particular, respect. 10 minutes of respect for the unionist community in Ligonier and Ballysill to allow them to return home.
What about the respect outside St Patrick's Church yesterday? Because that has been brought up as well, that there was a band that breached the Parades Commission determination by playing music outside the band, outside the church.
Yes, indeed.
Where's the respect there?
Yes. The parade takes several hours to pass. I don't know the total number of bands. I've never actually counted them, but it's a very large number of bands in a two-hour parade. And one of those bands did break the determination, and it was a determination by the Parades Commission. Having said that, and it is a breach of a determination.
Do you condemn them for that?
If people break determinations, then there will be consequences, and that's absolutely clear. But let me say this.
Should that ban then be prevented from taking part in that similar march in the future
first of all,
they be banned from doing that?
First of all, let me just make this point. The band went past playing the hymn, "How Great Thou Art." Uh-huh. I'm sure that hymn is sung in Roman Catholic churches, just as it's sung in Protestant churches. It is a bizarre situation, is it not?
Determination, whatever they played.
And I've already said that. Uh-huh. I'm just simply going on to say it is a bizarre determination. Uh-huh. When you are banned from playing a hymn outside a place of worship. It's an odd situation that Northern Ireland has been put into, but it is a breach of a determination, yes.
And it feeds into that atmosphere as well that you've talked about. You were called names as you walked around Belfast yesterday. We've already heard, of course, about other incidents leading up to events yesterday. It didn't help to raise tension in the end. It might help to ease tension if you, as a political leader, were to say, for instance, that you feel that that band should not be allowed to take part in the demonstration again after breaching the Parades Commission determination.
I'm sure the Orange Order will deal with the situation themselves properly. I am not a senior Orange man. I hold no particular role in the Order other than being an ordinary member. But having said that, are we to say that people forever and a day are punished for one event? There'd be a lot of people who would be in a very different position from what they are now if that was to be the case. The fact is that it was, yes, a breach. It was a minor breach. And even nationalist politicians this morning have acknowledged it's a minor breach. So let's see at the perspective.
But just sorry, but a breach just, nonetheless. Term, I want to bring Gerry Kelly
in terms
back.
Of perspective, I just want to make this point
briefly,
very simply. Yesterday evening, in the city of Londonderry, with no orange parades anywhere near it, Republicans rioted and petrol bombed the police in the Bogside. Let's get things into perspective.
And there was also a bus stolen in Grace
Absolutely.
Street, which is under investigation.
An attack on a bus man on a bus with orange parade returning home.
Gerry Kelly, how difficult is it going to be to pick up the pieces after yesterday, the fact that we had this rioting on the street, we had 9 police officers injured, we had the breach of the determination outside St Patrick's, and I suppose the follow-on from that. Is it going to be possible, do you think, to try and start to repair some of that damage?
Let me say 2 things. Just first of all, on the breach down at St Patrick's, I mean, I watched the TV footage of it later, and when the band, I think it was BBC, asked one of the band men why they did it, the guy was nearly laughing, so they didn't see it as a very serious thing. But they were then, after they finished it, after they passed the chapel, they started doing what I think is called the bouncy, holding the drums up in the air and celebrating the fact that they had done it. So, you know, it's quite a deliberate thing, but that's not a thing to go back to. Your question, which I think was, how do you move from here? See, I agree with what Chris said at the beginning of the program. Despite what happened, despite the fact that there is a young woman in the hospital this morning, and actually Councillor McCabe was around this morning, I was around last night, and she has a shattered pelvis and is going under surgery today. So I wish her all the best in terms of that. Despite all of that, and despite the fact that there was 9 police officers injured, it has not been as bad when you take this in, 2 or 3 year chunks or 5 year chunks and all of that. So we're not in as bad a position as we were a number of years ago, and I don't think we should start thinking that we are in that bad a position. Just having Matching Greyfield, by the way, and condemn it. I know that Dermot, Councillor Dermot Nicol put out a statement immediately. What we need to try and do is we do need to try and understand each other. But part of that is not to have a predetermined outcome to dialogue. Part of that is, Nelson realizing that you might go into dialogue and you might get out of what you were looking for in the first place.
But what about Nelson's point that they've had 10 years of dialogue and they have got nowhere as far as they're concerned?
Well, it wasn't really 10 years of dialogue. What happened was that the Orange Order refused until last year. Early last year, and I welcome the fact that they then came to face-to-face talks, and then they walked out of those talks. But the fact that they went to them was a step forward. And what I would argue is let's not take a further step back, let's take that step forward again. And I know from talking to the residents that they have been on a fairly regular basis asking for dialogue right up to July of this year as well. So they're up for the talks. I don't know what will come out of it, but we have to go into it with an open mind and certainly understanding each other rather than attacking buses or any of these other incidents which have happened, especially around the faces, is something that we need to try and get past. And that, I mean, as a politician, it's not just up to us, and I agree with him on that there, but it's part of our responsibility to lead in terms of that. So if we're showing that we can talk and that we can try and work things out, which we have, by the way, in many areas, and dialogue being the beginning of that, then that's the type of example we need to continue on.
And can you bring both residents group with you on this one? Because there is the feeling out there that while you might be able to speak and represent one, there is the other residents group out there, GARC, who seem to be beyond this process.
Well, I don't try and represent either group. I'm elected representative in the area, and I do that as my job. But I do support residents from the CAR group in terms of what their analysis of it is, and I do have difficulties with what GARC's analysis is. But they are groups who have a voice, and they need to be listened to as well. That, by the way, just to return to what I said about the Orange Order, does not mean that what they want is guaranteed either. That's the point, that we need to go into this and try and work out something which allows us all to get that bit closer together. I'm not going to be naive with it, but certainly come that bit closer together and try and work this problem as well as other problems which we need to work at.
Do you think we'll be in this position this time next year?
Well, first of all, Gerry Kelly is wrong in saying that there were no Orange Brethren at dialogue meetings until last year. That's totally untrue. The North West Belfast Parades Forum would hold the minutes of meetings, would have the records, and there has been the presence of Orange men at those dialogue meetings for many years. He's simply not telling the truth in that regard. The second thing here is that you hit on a very key point there when you talk about GAARC, because ultimately GAARC has only one ambition, and that is to remove the presence of any unionist, any Protestant, any Orange man from the Crumlin Road. These are the folk who were one of their spokesmen recently calling for people to join the IRA.
Well, I would point out that nobody from GAARC is on the programme this morning to
be fair to everybody. Absolutely. And it would be very difficult for their main spokesman to be on because he's actually out of bail at the moment for recruiting for the IRA.
Yes, we know that. You've mentioned that on programmes before, but just to be
clear, it's good to have an opportunity to mention, put it on record, because people do tend to forget.
Well, we're not in a position to hear from GAARC on the programme this morning, just to see where they would stand. A bigger question, I would imagine, for a lot of people out there is, will we be in the same position this time next year?
Unless we see some sense from the Parades Commission, unless we see some respect from the nationalist community for their neighbours in Ligonier and Ballysilne, we could be.
Does that mean unless you get your way?
No, I think it's a question of respect and recognition of the fact that there is a unionist community in that area. The present position is one where the Parades Commission has empowered republicanism, where they can go into dialogue and say, well, sure, we don't have to agree to anything, because at the end of the day, if we don't agree, the Parades Commission will do what we want. That's not the right approach. That's why we need a new approach, a better system, a new start. That's what's really required. And it's very much in the hands of the Secretary of State, because she's the person who appoints the Parades Commission and they're answerable to her.
Gerry Kelly, last word to you.
Last word is, and Malcolm has just hit the nub of the problem there. He's saying that he won't take the Parades Commission or an independent body because he doesn't like what they say, but he's prepared to go to the British Secretary of State on the basis that they may overturn it. So what he is looking at is a predetermined outcome to this, and it has never worked in any piece, and he has been involved in himself in any piece of negotiation anybody's ever wanted to.
OK. Gentlemen, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much indeed for that. Gerry Kelly mentioned, of course, the 16-year-old girl who was injured after a car ran into a group of pedestrians. She was, in fact, trapped under the vehicle for a period of time. And you'll see some of the images, indeed, across the front pages of the local newspapers today. Well, Father Gary Donegan was on hand last night and was able to offer some help and assistance to the young girl and her family. Father Gary, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Take us through what happened then. What did you see?
Well, having had a relatively peaceful morning, I think the inclement weather assisted in that as well, and the numbers were very small. In the afternoon, as the weather kind of picked up, we started to see larger crowds gathering, and myself and others who spent the last couple of nights kind of patrolling the streets and keeping an eye to young people were continuing to do that, and we had heard that there was possible disturbance over on the Woodville Twaddell area, and with that there was a large scream or shouts went up, and I passed through the police lines. At this stage the PSNI and locals were actually moving the car from the young girl who had been trapped underneath the car. I think in all honesty, everybody, PSNI officers, locals, everybody was actually shocked. At some stage, you know, people didn't realise exactly what was actually happening. Once that, once it was established what was happening, I have to applaud the leadership of all people who were present, you know, and actually pulling people back from the scene to allow those that were involved, paramedics, etc., to assist the wee girl. Mm-hmm. At that stage, she was, you know, in that prone position on the ground, and I actually did at that stage fear for the worst. So they moved to put a neck brace on her and try and establish had she any movement in her lower limbs. And the wee girl started to cry. It was very disturbing for everybody. She started to cry and kept saying, "Am I dying?" And I was trying to reassure her and held her hand and told her about the people that were around her that were helping her and looking for her mommy. And then we managed to get we managed to my mum, and then we got the mum in beside her as well, and she was comforting, and we were kind of there reassuring her. And it was a very, very scary scene, and eventually the wee girl was taken off the hospital. But really, it is the grace of God that, you know, we're talking in the way we are talking this morning. We could have had two or three fatalities, because there were actually three people hit that actually were injured, but there were a series of people hit with glancing blows as well. And so it was it was a situation that was very, very disturbing, but could have ended up in a carnage situation.
Sounds frightening. And the photographs on the front of the newspapers today are frightening. Also, in terms then of what you were able to do to try and ease tension, because whenever news of what happened started to spread around the crowd, I understand that there was a lot of unease there, and there was the potential there for further disorder as a result of what happened.
Yeah, well, I think the individual, the driver, had been at the seat taken in police custody. But initially, when the car was being moved, people who were there just before I arrived didn't realise there was a child under the car, but in fact, okay, I thought that they were trying to rescue the guy out of the car.
Okay.
So, in fact, I ended up getting into one of the police vehicles and using the speaker to kind of ask the crowd to move back to ask anybody that had influence in the community to exact leadership.
Okay. Father Donegan, we'll leave it there. But the good news is, of course, we're able to report this morning that this young girl is still in hospital, but she's expected.